Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's parable, where Abraham says, or the rich man in hell says, "I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, one of the first people I met when I began college was my student advisor. Okay, it's the guy who helps plan your, not just helps plan your schedule for the first quarter or semester, but for all 4 years you need to get your Bachelor of Arts degree. And I went to his office and I met with him, but as it turns out, he was one of those weird people that think you should take a lot of math. No offense, sorry, but, you know, I tend to avoid those people, But anyway, he's just, he kept pushing math. I go, "You do know I'm pre-seminary, right? I mean, math." And I kept telling him, "Look, all I have to know is how to go plus and minus and times and gazintas. And if I know all those, you know, I can do my taxes." And he goes, "No, you really need math. It helps you to think critically." And I said, "All right." And so I took the base math class that first semester, lowest one I could, with me in the offensive line of the football team. I got a C. It was basic junior high math. And that was the last math class I took. And that was the last time I saw the advisor. I said, "I don't need that." And so I figured I could plan my day out and I could figure out my schedule from hour to hour. And I could, short term. So in the small, immediate time, I could do it. But as it turned out, over 4 years, I didn't do such a good job. I had the weirdest last quarter, I think, for any pre-sem student in college. My last quarter consisted of graduate level Hebrew, badminton, weightlifting, and bowling. All of which, by the way, had a final, a written final in badminton, and I think I got a B on it. But that, it was all because I hadn't planned out, right? Right? I mean, you need to plan for the future just as much as you need to plan for the present and think about the present. And we see that in this parable. Lately, the parables that Jesus has been giving have a lot to do with money, and really they don't. I think they have a lot to do with survival. Last week's parable of the shrewd steward, he got into trouble because of his cheating and everything. And what did he do? He shrewdly took into account what he knew about the master, that he was gracious and merciful. And with that knowledge and using the money of his master, he survived. What we have here with that parable is a parable of survival. With today's parable, we have the opposite side of the coin. It's a parable of how not to survive. Now, what prompts the parable is the Pharisees, as is usually the case. Now, up until this point, it says the Pharisees have been grumbling at Jesus, okay? They kind of do that behind closed doors privately. It says here they're scoffing at him, okay? That's very loud. It's like he's being heckled by these guys. So finally, Jesus says, "Look, your problem is you all love money, but that's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is you seek approval from the wrong person. You're seeking the approval of man using man's standard, which is what appears on the outside." And the Pharisees were very good at this. Everything, the way they dressed, what they ate, who they associated with, who they didn't associate with, how they worshipped, how they gave to the poor, all these ways, these outward ways, they appeared very, very righteous. And Jesus says, "Well, according to man's standards, that's fine. But that's not how God judges things." And so he tells this parable. You got a rich man who has everything you could possibly need, and you have a poor man, Lazarus, who have nothing. And on a daily basis, the people in the community, in an act of love, take Lazarus and set him at the door of the rich man. I've heard people say that he was being dumped on the door. That's not it. This is an act of love. It's an act that's being done by people in the community who can barely afford to feed themselves and their families. And so they can't afford to help Lazarus. They know the rich man can. And so they take him there, hoping he will, and he doesn't. And what's important about that is the proximity. of these two people. Lazarus and the rich man are right next to each other. They see each other every single day. And every day, Lazarus sees what he is missing. And every day, the rich man sees everything that Lazarus is missing. And then they both die. And then comes the big surprise. It's not surprising to us, right? But in our society, but for that society, it was very surprising. The epitome, right, of, I mean, the in physical form, to see God's blessing and God's curse was usually monetary, right? If you had a lot of money and you were living a high life, it meant God loved you because you were so great. If you didn't have these things, it meant you were a sinner. God was cursing you. And so when Jesus says, well, the rich man goes to hell and Lazarus goes to the side of Abraham, and that term is used, it was also used in the with the Last Supper. It means he sat next to, in the seat of honor at the banquet of paradise next to Abraham. And that was surprising for those people. In our society, we wouldn't be surprised. Our society, we would say, oh, well, it makes perfect sense. Of course the rich guy goes to hell and the poor guy goes to heaven, right? Because rich guys are bad and poor people somehow are noble. Again, when we think that way, our society is just as wrong as their society because we're looking at the outward appearance. It doesn't matter. The rich man is not in hell because he had so much money, just like Lazarus is not in heaven because of all the suffering he went through. Now, it's at this point in the sermon that we could focus way too much on the future. We could just start looking at heaven and looking at hell and how it's described, right? Hell appears to be hot here, and heaven seems to be a wonderful place with a meal, and there's a big ditch between the two that nobody can pass. Seemingly, people in hell can see what's going on in heaven, but people in heaven can't see what's going on in hell, and one group cannot go to the other side. Now, we could do all that, and yet that would miss the point. Because the present is also very important in this part of the parable. Because the requests that the rich man makes from hell are all done in the present time. His first request, Father Abraham, he says. And that had to really hurt the Pharisees. If he said Father Abraham, that means he's a child of Abraham. And according to the Pharisees, children of Abraham did not go to hell. And Jesus is saying, oh yeah, they do. Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to come down here and give me some water. So it shows that he still sees Lazarus as someone who is way below him, and Abraham even as someone that he can order around. He kind of has forgotten who he is, where he is, and why he's there. Well, Abraham says, nope, sorry, can't come over there. Even if I wanted to send him over, I couldn't, but I don't want to. Second request comes. He says, well, then at least send Lazarus to my five brothers to warn them. And Abraham says they have Moses and they have the prophets. The final request is, well, yes, but at least if you send Lazarus, he will come back from the dead and they will have to repent. And he says, you know, even if someone rises from the dead, they won't listen. They won't believe. Now, again, at this point, instead of focusing on the future, we could focus only on the present. And say, look, the important thing for us to do is round up as many poor people as possible and give them as much money as possible. Can we assure ourselves that we don't go to the bad place, but we go to the good place? It's not about what you talk about or what you confess, it's what you do. And we need to do that. Of course, doing that and caring for the poor is important. It's important to our society as it was important to the society 2,000 years ago. By the way, as it was important to the Pharisees. The Pharisees gave a lot to the poor, and they gave often to the poor, and they gave very publicly to the poor. And if this rich man was anything like a Pharisee, he would have given in the same way. He would have given a lot, he would have given often, he would have given publicly. He just wouldn't have given to Lazarus. Lazarus served another purpose. His life, his abject poverty, his suffering served the function of highlighting the blessings that he had in his life. But then he died. Now, I really think at the heart of this parable is a warning and a promise. The warning is seen clearly in the second and the third request made by the rich man. The second request is that he makes of Abraham as he says send Lazarus to my five brothers to warn them. And what is Abraham says? They have Moses and they have the prophets. By Moses, he's referring to the law. A law, by the way, that was never intended to be used as a tool to justify ourselves or get us into heaven. The law was meant to condemn us. But then they also have the prophets. And the prophets aren't just about telling the future. The prophets, as he's using this, the prophets in the Bible, are talking about a promise and a hope of a Savior who would come to save us from that condemnation. Also, we see a warning in that third request. He says, yeah, but if you send Lazarus from the dead, then they'll have to believe. Well, let's shoot forward 2,000 years to our present day. We still have Moses and the prophets. We have the law and the prophets. And yet, how many people doesn't make a bit of difference? They look at these not as the word of God, but they look at it as the word of men who had an agenda, and therefore they're not real. They might possibly at best be moral lessons for moral circumstances, but nothing more than that. There is no sin, there is no hell, there is no Savior, because there is no need. And if someone rises from the dead, they'll all believe? Well, someone has risen from the dead, haven't they? We talk about it every Sunday here. The entire Christian church talks about it every single day. And how many people look at that and say, who cares? It makes no difference. That's the warning. The promise is this. Who do we see ourselves in this parable? Do we see ourselves as the rich man or as Lazarus? Well, just being born in the United States of America puts us pretty much in the rich man bracket. I mean, in the United States, we have so much more than almost everybody in this world. It's amazing how much blessings we have and take for granted. Well, that should worry us. The good news is God himself in his grace has put us in the position of Lazarus. I think it's very important. I think Jesus chose that word on purpose, the name Lazarus, because what Lazarus means a lot. Lazarus means the one who God helps. And that's us. God's helped us by giving us the faith to hear God's voice speaking through the law to say you're guilty. You have to look for help. There is sin and there is hell. But also to hear the voice of God speak clearly through the prophets saying, but there is a promised hope that is coming. And God gives us the eyes of faith to see the one who was raised from the dead, to help us, to save us, to love us. And now because of that, God opens our eyes to see our neighbors who are in distress, and he gives us hands and the power in our hands to reach out and help them in their time of need. Not so that we go to heaven, and not so that we avoid hell. We do it out of gratitude for the promise that's been given and the promise that we trust. The promise that the risen Savior does live in our life. And that because of him, in this life, we can rejoice and we can look forward even now to that future life. And know that there's a place at Abraham's side and our name is at that place. I thank God that he has given us this faith. He's placed us in a world that's filled with faithlessness and lives in the darkness. And we have the light. We know of a Savior who is risen from the dead. We know the truth and the good news. I pray that we might reach out to people who are in need. Certainly people who are physical need. To care for them, to feed them, to help them in every way we can. But to reach out to all those people who are living in spiritual darkness. They live in sin and don't even know it. They're living in hell and don't know it. But we can tell them the good news of the one who has risen so that they might listen and by the power of the Spirit trust and then experience the same joy and gratitude we experience this day. In Jesus' name, amen.